Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. That's Yuck, playing at Stubbs Barbecue in Austin, Texas at the South by Southwest Music Conference last Wednesday. Tens of thousands of fans and music biz insiders, maybe 2,000 bands, a wall of sound right through this last weekend. Some grumbling at the number of big-name performers who have joined the party in the Texas Hill Country, but a lot of new sound, too. This hour on Point, young critics on the best of South by Southwest. Yuck right there. You can join the conversation. Have you been checking it out on YouTube, joining in the Texas Roundup, finding your new go-to playlist? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Special thanks to NPR Music for a bunch of our audio today. They've been very busy catching the sounds of Austin. Joining me now, two young music writers just out of the South by Southwest maelstrom. Writer and critic Liz Colville joins us from Berkeley, California. She's written for The Daily Beast, Nerve, Pitchfork, Stylist, The Village Voice Online, and more. You can find a link to her thoughts on South by Southwest at our website. Liz Colville, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And with us from Los Angeles, Chris Martins, music writer, critic. He covered the South by Southwest Festival for Spin magazine, also a frequent contributor to the LA Times, LA Weekly, Onion AV Club. He blogs at oralstandards.com. Chris Martins, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
Liz, it's Yuck behind me here. Tell us about them. I think it's your favorite from the whole hootenanny.
Oh, that might be Chris's favorite, actually.
Oh, it's Chris's favorite. Okay.
Actually, I like them too.
Oh, she likes them too, but Chris, it's your favorite. Give it to us, Chris. Tell us about Yuck. I think their debut album came out like 5 minutes ago.
That's right. Yeah, they're a fantastic new band from London, ostensibly. They're actually from all over the map, but based in London. And really great band. I mean, what they do is sort of a mashup of everything great that happened in alt-rock during the 90s. Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr., Yola Tango, even a little Smashing Pumpkins in there. And to me, the greatest thing about them is live, how tight they are, and they just deliver wave after wave of distortion. But it's never noisy for the sake of being noisy. It's thick melody constantly. They do a great job at it.
Thick melody. What does thick melody mean, Chris?
Well, I guess to me, they're a guitar band, you know. They have a lot of guitar going on when you see them live, mm-hmm. and it's thick layers of distortion. But what I like about them so much, again, it's not noise for the sake of noise.
Right.
These guys are making pretty music.
And were you there for their performance in Austin over the last few days?
For one of them, yeah. These guys were one of the busiest bands of the festival. But I did. I saw them at Stubbs, which is one of the big venues there, and it was a great show.
Paint that scene for us, just to give us a sense of what the South by Southwest experience is like at 25 years and counting now.
Sure, absolutely. This was an evening show, probably around 8 o'clock or 9. I guess that's nighttime, really. And the weather was just perfect, you know, 70 degrees out. Packed with happy people holding beers in their hands and, you know, eating barbecue sandwiches. And, it's nighttime. The stage is just cast in blue light. Everything just feels so warm and wonderful. It's pretty amazing.
Liz, I don't know how many times you've been to South by Southwest. Was this your first time? Are you an old timer there, Liz?
This is my first time. Yeah. It was crazy. I've been to, you know, CMJ a few times, and I was not prepared for just the sheer volume of people. I mean, to me, it felt kind of like, you know, New Orleans during Mardi Gras. It's just insane. And it's interesting because I was hanging out with a guy from England, and he said, you know, if this was England, there would be policemen everywhere. And I think that's an interesting perspective, because, you know, it is crazy. There's so many people in the streets. It's really just like a party in the streets, but it's always, at least this year, very tame, very, you know, no crazy rowdiness, just people having a good time.
Well, maybe a little crazy rowdiness we're reading about here. We'll talk about that. But people really keyed into the music. You were really excited, I guess, with the performance of Glasser. Tell us about Glasser, Liz.
Yeah. So Glasser is, her real name is Cameron Mesereau, and she's from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And she is really interesting because she is, I mean, you classify her as electronic pop. But she brings in all these, like, world music influences. She uses a lot of really interesting instruments that you don't hear very much, like vibraphone, bongos, zithers, rain sticks, that kind of thing. And then also more traditional things like synths, drum machines, drum kits, and a bass.
Yeah.
And her show is at – her big show is at Central Presbyterian Church, which is – arguably the best venue you can get there, just because the acoustics are so amazing.
This is not sawdust on the floor and beer and ribs, or is it?
It's people sitting in pews being very, you know, composed. And the interesting thing about this is that she really, she seemed to bring the most stylish people to her show. She's very stylish herself. She's always wearing very interesting, mixing lots of patterns and wearing little weird things in her hair, and she brought, you know, it was almost like a fashion show and a show, you know, a music a concert combined, because it was just interesting to people watch as well. I think she kind of attracts sartorial people.
Oh boy.
So that was
hipster heaven down at the Presbyterian church the other night. Let's listen to a little bit of Glasser. Cameron Mesereau is Glasser there at the Central Presbyterian Church in Austin last Thursday night. Liz, I'm reading here that she put together a bunch of her stuff just on GarageBand.
Yeah, this
sort of
is like
desktop software, and off she went.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. I mean, she began, you know, really on her own, probably 2007, 2006, and just you know, had all the drums, you know, did layers and layers of tracks, but just did it on this simple software that comes free with, you know, your Mac. And then it kind of took off, and I think she became bigger than she probably thought she would just with the GarageBand demo. And then she actually got the producers who work with The Knife to work on her debut album, which is called Ring, and that came out last fall.
Almost so a Bjork-y sound there somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very, very much like Bjork. And so now she has these big, you know, very talented producers behind her, which really helps. It doesn't necessarily take, you know, they complement each other very well. I don't think you could really tell that she's got these big producers working for her, but it definitely helps bring her to the next level, which I think is great. So,
Chris, is that these days a marker of authenticity to sort of put together the first draft of new music just on GarageBand at home? I mean, back in the day, that might have been like, oh, you know, where's your band? Is it now right. The other way around? If you can do it, you know, out of thin air on your desktop, you've got something going on?
You know, to some extent, I think there is a certain authenticity in that, of course, now, because we sort of live in this DIY culture within the music scene, and that with the advent of the internet and the rising popularity and the ease of social network uses and what have you, you can really make your own music, you can promote your own music, and it opens up the field to people who may not have ever seen themselves in a music career, who may be doing this just for fun, but we get a chance to hear their experiments, and if it's good, then it does indeed progress to the next level.
There was some grumbling. We heard it on NPR today, Liz, out of Austin, that so many big names have kind of come in to share the heat and scene there, that it's become something that it didn't used to be, that it's not just this sort of new bright lights, but everybody horning in. What about it, Liz?
That's interesting. I mean, I made it about seeing people who were definitely up and coming or just trying to go around a little aimlessly and find people that I had no idea, you know, what they sounded like. But it's definitely true that it is becoming, it's such a big, big thing. And I think, you know, it's understandable that these bigger, not only bands, but companies want to come in and have have their share and sort of get themselves to this big audience. And I think it's okay.
It's still hip enough to get you guys 20-something, sanctioned. This is cool. This is cool enough.
Yeah.
Good. We're glad to hear it. We're going to hear from some more of the great music that Chris and Liz have picked out of the whole soup of South by Southwest as what's happening in the last week down there. They're both with us from California today. Little Jack White here made a surprise performance at South by Southwest, 2-song concert in a parking lot. Jack White, of course, of the White Stripes. Here's Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground. You can join the conversation. What do you expect to hear out of South by Southwest? What do you listen for? Have you been listening on YouTube already? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. The sound there of South by Southwest, the street sound, over the last, 4 or 5 days, wrapping up this weekend. We're looking at the freshest sounds out of South by Southwest, asking young critics who's got the buzz, who's had it in Austin, Texas over the last week. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Is this where you go to find your New Year's iPod playlist? And what do you make of Yuck Glasser, James Blake? We'll hear from him in just a minute. 800-423-8255. Chris Martin joins us from Los Angeles, music writer and critic. He covered South by Southwest for Spin Magazine. He blogs at oralstandards.com. Liz Colville is with us from Berkeley, California, written for The Daily Beast and Nerve, NPR, Pitchfork, Stylus, The Village Voice Online. She blogs at lizcolville.tumblr.com. You can read a lot of her thoughts from On the Hoof, almost literally there in cattle country, hill country of Texas. James Blake makes our critics' favorites list. Let's listen to a little bit of his piece, Wilhelm Scream. This is live in Austin, Texas, South by Southwest. British electronic musician James Blake.
This is the Wilhelm Scream.
James Blake on Wednesday at Stubbs Barbecue, Wednesday night in Austin, with his song Wilhelm Scream. Chris, this is on your big thumbs up list. Tell us about James Blake and his music.
Absolutely. There's a lot of excitement around James Blake right now because, what he's doing, he's taking a an electronic genre out of London called dubstep, which is typically very bass heavy, has some Jamaican dub influences on it, hence the name. But what he's doing is a very minimal, stripped down version of it, and on top of that, he's one of the first to bring vocals into the mix, and not just, you know, some sort of chanting or rapping sort of vocal. I mean, as you can hear, he has an extremely soulful voice, closer to Anthony and the Johnsons or somebody along those lines. So it's just bringing a deep level of soulfulness to a genre that's been known for very moody, dark soundscapes, kind of depressing atmosphere, which ironically is what people like about it. But in his case, he's really bringing something new to the table.
What does it look like on stage when James Blake is performing? Is there a band, or is it just him and the computer? What's going on there?
Yeah, I was curious about that as well. I wasn't sure how he was going to execute it live, because on record it is just him. But this time he did bring a live drummer and a guitarist / utilities man with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it really added a lot to it. It sort of, on certain moments, it gave it actually a very jazz-like atmosphere. There was room for improvisation, and James himself is seated with a microphone, you know, a keyboard, various samplers and effects processors. And yeah, overall, it was really kind of a pretty magical atmosphere.
Liz, what do you make of James Blake?
Oh, I love James Blake. I didn't get to see him, actually, but I've heard that what's interesting about his performances at mm-hmm. South by Southwest is that he's very shy, you know, and he's another person who was just sort of fooling around with some instruments at home and then decided to like take it outside. and so, you know, this is cool because we're seeing him sort of mature and come into his own in a live setting. And I think you can still hear him. You can still hear the nerves a little bit, I think. But I heard that he was, you know, is a marked improvement over some of his more recent live shows.
That big quavering bass kind of wall of sound beneath or behind him there. And you talked about thick melodies, Chris. And, but this, and soundscape was a word that you used. I mean, I know you've got bands going in all directions at South by Southwest, but this seems to be a real trend, this kind of mood, I don't know, mashed up sort of mood flood or mud bath kind of rolling over you. People are looking for that.
Yeah, they are. Especially, again, there's been a lot of buzz around the dubstep style for, you know, sometimes some say it's already peaked. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's changing. It's evolving as we're seeing. And when one goes to a show that is, you know, at least informed partly by that music, you really do want that bass. The artists themselves, I mean, some of these guys back in London, they're digging up scientific oscillators to deliver these sub-bass frequencies that just rattle your nose hairs. They shake your pant leg. I mean, you are just enveloped by this vibration. And it's odd because I've been at some shows in Los Angeles where there's a very well-known scene based around artists like Flying Lotus and the Gaslamp Killer. And some of these shows, you leave with ear damage that you've never experienced before, because high frequencies, feel it. It's almost like pain.
Right.
But low frequencies is completely different.
and Liz, I mean, does a band matter anymore? We're going to hear from Gold Panda and others, but is it just as well a big digital offering of sound? People don't care if there's a Mick Jagger prancing around up there with the, you know, the guys behind him or gals?
Yeah, well, I do know that the Strokes show was pretty sure the most popular event at the whole thing. You know, I saw like 700 people had RSVP'd or something.
So still bring out the crowd to see the gang on stage.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point because, you know, Glasser, for instance, I had wished that she'd done more band stuff because there was a boards guy with a laptop and drum machine and everything, but he was playing a backing track, you know, and I think it's difficult with this type of music where there's so many layers, it's so complex, because how can they create that in a live setting? Mm-hmm. So it is a little challenging for them, but I would like to see more sort of improvisation, as Chris was saying, just a little more from people like that.
But we're into a new age when you bring your soundboard and your laptop and yourself, and that can be it, and the crowd can be darn happy about it. Let's hear another one here. This is a Jesus Fever from Kurt Vile. Let's hear. ¶¶ That was at Auditorium Shores in Austin on Saturday, out of Philadelphia. Liz, I think this makes your thumbs up list. I mean, he's been compared to Springsteen and Bob Seger and Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of gentle and moody compared to those, maybe. But tell us about Kurt Vile.
Yeah, I think that's why I like him. I think that's why a lot of people like him, is that it is very sort of classic rocky and deceptively simple, but I love the tone of his voice. I think he reminds me a little bit of Richard Ashcroft from The Verve, just someone whose voice is really, you know, in the spotlight and has this commanding presence, and yet he tries to do this kind of like I don't really care thing. If you listen to his lyrics, a lot of it is just about, like, you know, getting drunk. But he has a very poetic way of talking about getting drunk. And I think he's very refreshing. You know, he's not breaking the mold per se, but he is. I think he's adding something new to the genre. So
is there an actively kind of anti-charisma vibe among popular bands? And I don't mean it as a diss, but you know that sort of, yeah, I don't really care tone that we're hearing in a number of things we've played so far, and I wonder if that's actually an active draw now, Liz. That sense of, well, you know, I'm half in this and I'm half not. I'm not going to play the big theatrical rock star.
Yeah, I think it's actually just shyness, probably, more than anything. I mean, Kurt kind of hides behind his hair. He's got long curly hair, and you can barely see his face half the time. But it's not that he doesn't care. It's just that he's kind of absorbed in what he's doing. He's not really there to put on, a visual show. It's more just an, you know, aural show. And I think he, you know, when he really gets into something, when he's soloing or whatever, you see that he really is a remarkable songwriter. So I think it's just the personalities rather than sort of trying to be that way.
It's so interesting, though. I mean, you guys are the 20-something, so you're bringing the news of what's popular now, what's going to be popular. And, you know, Chris, to a generation that was used to the bands who kind of grew up, on the bar scene, you know, sort of doing it one night at a time and having it be so much about stage presence, now we're in an era where everything can be born very far from a stage. It may be in the bedroom or, you know, the basement den, and then almost go straight to the stage. It's the oral rather than necessarily the theatrical offering.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that said, though, I think ennui has been a big part of music for a long time and music performance. I mean, look at the Velvet Underground and people's sense. And Liz mentioned the Strokes. I mean, when the Strokes initially came onto the scene, there was so much talk about how big a deal they seemed to make about not caring. And again, I'm not saying I love Kurt Vile, and I wouldn't suggest that he's doing that for show. I think that is legitimate.
Yeah.
And it does tie into sort of the culture of the individual as the artist being more prominent now. Like you said, it can start in the bedroom. But overall, I think, you know, there is an attraction to that. I'd say the guys in Yuck are probably well aware of that, and you know, it's part of their style.
Let's get a whole different sound in here. Big Crit, Mississippi rapper. Tell us about Big Crit. He performed at the Mohawk on Wednesday. What can you tell us, Chris?
Yeah, Big Crit is just a fantastic rising Southern star. He has so much charisma. He really wraps up to me a lot of the different things that are great about Southern rap. A sort of playful flamboyance, a weirdness, you know, that kind of goes back to groups like Outkast. Also just, you know, a lot of style, a lot of flair. A lot of attitude, in a great way. He really brought a really great show, had a lot of friends on stage with them, and they did a great job.
Here's Mississippi's Big Crit at the Mohawk in Austin, Texas.
You can't beat the magic, baby Kim Kardashian. Number one song, get a Grammy, bounce man, shit. Maserati Grandstand, swerving through the traffic. Ripping round the poles, tell a meal up the transit. I defy gravity, flyer than I have to be. Talking to the Lord, I can't stay. Who gon' save the bar? That's like a torn ACL to an athlete. Movie Miles Friday night, capture me in my hometown.
Big Crit at the Mohawk at South by Southwest. What makes rap Southern rap, Chris, as opposed to any other kind?
You know, I mean, you can hear in his voice a certain drawl between songs. I think there's a different rapport with the crowd, just some more familiarity, you know, that Southern hospitality. Also, you know, I mean, rap has long been about throwing up your set, about talking about where you're from. And Southern rap, it seems like there's an even deeper pride rooted in that, and a sort of sense of community and ownership over one's upbringing.
How big a presence is hip-hop or rap at South by Southwest? And we heard about Odd Future made a splash down there by walking off after, I don't know, a couple of songs. Is hip-hop a big presence in Austin?
You know, I'd say this year, again, actually, this is my first year as well, but from what I understand, this year it was bigger than ever, and I think it has a lot to do with the similar culture that we're talking about in rock music or electronic music, where you can produce by yourself. It's sort of united all these different scenes, because people are coming at it from the same angles, you know, they're working together in a sense, even though they're working from different ends of the musical spectrum.
Let's hear another sound. Sounds like rap, but it's not. This is called Gangsta from the Toon Yards. Toon Yards with Gangsta, led by ukulele-wielding frontwoman Meryl Garbus there. They were played at the Parish in Austin, Texas on Thursday with Gangsta. Liz, what is going on there? What genre are we in? We're way out. I don't know what to call it.
It's a genre all her own. Yeah, Meryl Garbus is really another standout for me, not just at this festival, but every time I see her. I first saw her at a record store in Brooklyn a couple of years ago, and this is someone who is probably the opposite of a Kurt Vile. You know, she is so charismatic, so positive. Just her music is just really about like celebration. It feels very spiritual, and it just feels very her own. I mean, I can't think of anything that compares to her except. I would say she sounds like Prince sometimes, because she's got this voice that just she wants to show it off, and the way she shows it off can be very sexy. Her lyrics can be very sexy as well, and to me that said Prince when I saw her the other day. But yeah, she's special.
Just when you thought you've heard it all, you're off into some kind of new terrain where people are obviously playing off, you know, the parameters all their own. That is a pretty wild sound. I'd like to hear more of that. The Toon Yards there and Gangsta. We're getting the freshest, the hippest, the buzziest from Austin, Texas and South by Southwest with the music critics Liz Colville and Chris Martins. You can join the conversation this hour. Are you sick of hearing how great it all is in Austin, or happy that the party rolls on? Are you already picking up tunes from YouTube out of the latest down there, out of those 2,000 almost bands? What's got your attention? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We'll go out with the Strokes. Garage Rock Superstars closed their show on Thursday with a fan favorite last night in a big old Texas-size fireworks display. 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the sounds out of South by Southwest in Austin, Texas over the last week, asking young critics who's got the buzz at the festival this year. Liz Colville is with us, and Chris Martins, terrific young music critics. Both Liz out of Berkeley today and Chris out of L.A. Behind us, of course, Foo Fighters, fronted by former Nirvana member Dave Grohl. Not exactly born yesterday, but this was the first time they'd ever performed at South by Southwest. Played a surprise concert on Tuesday. Here's the song Everlong. You can join the conversation. What's the fresh sound you like, you love, you're looking for out of South by Southwest? Is there anything you don't expect to hear out of the Austin, Texas big shebang these days? And what do you make of Yuck, Glasser, James Blake, Gold Panda? Are you keeping up? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Mike is calling from Manchester, Massachusetts. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How you doing?
Pretty well. What do you know about South by Southwest, Mike?
Well, I have been a professional musician for a long time. I played South by Southwest in 1990 and I believe 93.
So early on, it didn't start until 87, so you were there in the early days.
Yeah, I mean, and we were, you know, fresh out of Berklee College. Actually, he's still at Berklee College of Music when we went. And and we went back to Texas last November for the first time in a really long time. And what we were told about and what we noticed right away was the huge changes in the city. And, you know, a lot of this had come about by the changes that had come through South by Southwest. There was a massive gentrification effort to make the city, to change the whole vibe of the city. Now, it was magical in the, you know, back then, just because it was a bit of an oasis for you know, music, and they're just amazing musicians down there. And then when you would meet people in New York or Boston, it would be a sort of competitiveness, but down there you just kind of sit down and play with someone and it would be amazing. Yeah. And but the big difference that I'd noticed and heard about when I sort of watched South by Southwest from a distance was that in the early 90s when we would go, it would be the guys in the crowd would more often than not be celebrities, and that the people on stage wouldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember a couple of years ago hearing Jane's Addiction was playing South by Southwest and thinking to myself, what, they completely lost the plot somehow, you know what I mean? So
the stars on stage and not in the audience. What about the music we're hearing out of there today? Mike, you're a musician, and you've been at it for a while. What about the new sounds we're hearing today? What do you think? What do you make
of it? I like how eclectic it is. That's very cool. There was, and the only, I mean, it's I've been listening on my phone, so it's a little hard to hear. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's Austin has always been a fantastic place for music, and it seems like the music side is still good, but the whole idea seems to have been a little watered down, and it's just become just another festival. I mean, they specifically started the Austin. What, there's another music festival. I forget what it was called, but I think it's called the Austin City Limits Festival. That was
yeah.
Like, you know, all the signed acts to come in and play.
Yeah.
And but the gentrification of the town was the big thing that everybody talked about. And, you know, when we had been there, and they said you hadn't been here, obviously, in a while. If you didn't know that, you know, Sixth Street is all like corporate clubs now, and that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, Mike. And let me pick it up with our critics who were just there, and I appreciate your call. I mean, this festival is no small part, to Chris and Liz, of what helped make Austin one of the sort of the it towns of the country, right? I mean, it's got a huge mm-hmm. reputation now. Doing no small part to South by Southwest itself. Has it still got enough, I don't know, rugged authenticity for you, or has it been all slicked up?
If I'll jump in. Yeah. To me, you know, like I said, I don't have a great point of comparison because I haven't been there previous years. But honestly, all I noticed were tons of people having tons of fun and, you know, lots of music. And, yeah, there are corporate sponsors for everything, every event. And everybody's trying to brand, you know, brand the bands with their logos, et cetera. But really when it gets down to it, I mean, you know, Liz and I were there with badges, and there are people there who buy wristbands for access. But you can go there and get into all the free parties and see most of the same bands, too. And it's still great fun. And it's also, you know, the caller mentioned, you know, just another festival. And that, I can assure you, it certainly is not. You know, it's spread out. People walk around. It's dirty. It's grimy. There are beer cans in the street. People are falling over themselves in the street.
That sounds like a lot of festivals.
That's true.
Let me get a call from Lexington, Kentucky, and Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. That that one young fellow there that the girl was talking about with the long hair.
Kurt Vile, maybe it's the one you mean.
Yeah, he had kind of a Lou Reed quality in his voice, wouldn't you think?
How about it, Liz? Will we give him a little Lou Reed there to Kurt?
Yeah, the inflections, definitely. That sort of like almost speaking that he does sometimes. Yeah, definitely.
Greg, what are you hearing in the music today? Can you roll with it? Is it for you? Or what do you say?
Excuse me?
What do you think of the music you're hearing today? Is it catching?
Really neat. I like all of it.
Oh, good. We'll keep it coming here then. And thanks for your call, Greg. Here's a little bit the Superhumanoids. Now, this is not a big band in Austin, so we are not all caught up in headlines, I guess. But tell us about the Superhumanoids, Liz. Or Chris. Is that your favorite, Chris? Excuse me.
Yeah, no, that's my favorite pick for a band that is lesser known. They have a small amount of buzz going, but I think they'll have a lot more in the coming year. Excuse me. They're an LA-based band. And to me, what I love so much about them, there's just a real romantic quality to their sound. You know, they have these great boy-girl vocals. Everything's sort of mid-tempo and pretty. You know, lots of really nice guitar, also synthesizers and some sampler elements. Four people, and together they're all kind of doing double duty. So they make a lot of sound, but it's really pretty and just really beautiful music, I think.
The Superhumanoids, you heard it here first, perhaps, is Persona. This one's not live. We couldn't get that, but this is from a video that the festival put together to showcase the pop group, the Superhumanoids. Wow, Chris, that is pretty, as you say, but striking that sort of boy-girl pretty lyric up against that huge drum. I don't even know how you make the drum that big compared to the singer.
Yeah, they have a really special sort of juxtaposition of sounds at times. Like I said, they are a band with a big sound, especially when you get a chance to see them live. But there is definitely a delicate nature to it,
And
I think that's what stands out, especially compared to a lot of heavier bands that are playing right there. You notice the guitar is there, but it's not up front. Like you said, almost the beat is bigger.
Yeah, let's get a call from Mercersburg, Pennsylvania. Ryan, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Pretty well. What do you know?
I'm actually traveling back from Austin right now, back to Pennsylvania, and for me, South by Southwest was really enjoyable. I used to live in Austin, so I'm pretty familiar with the city.
Yeah.
And I was able to go without a wristband or a badge and just kind of bounce from location to location. And it was a little overwhelming just in the sheer number of bands that are there. I did notice that it's a lot more corporate down on the 6th Street area.
Mm-hmm. 6th Street, the sort of the heart of Music Austin, yeah.
Yeah. Despite that, I saw some really cool bands. I saw a lot of bands that I wasn't impressed with, but knowing that there was another band just a couple hundred yards down the street was great.
Right. So if you've got 2,000 to pick from, you can roll through a lot in a hurry, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the bands I saw was Saturday night at GNS Lounge on South First Street, called the Hello Strangers, and they were the sister duo actually from my hometown. So it was fun to see them down in Austin play.
Give me the name again, Ryan. What is it exactly?
The Hello Strangers.
The Hello Strangers. Good.
Yeah, it's a sister duo, like Americana, roots rock type music. So, harmonies, original music.
Sounds
super fun show.
Sounds good. I don't have tape of that, but we'll have to check it out a lot of this stuff ends up on YouTube. You're still giving it the thumbs up, and on your way home right now, Ryan, drive safe, and I appreciate your call. Let me get another from Nashville. Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Pretty well. Have you been there? Did you just come back?
Yeah, I just got back late last night, oh. And it's fantastic. I'm actually from Texas originally and went to the first 10 South Bys in a row, and grew from 3 conference rooms in a hotel where you went and picked your name tag up off the table, and maybe there were 5 or 6 clubs that night with music to what it is now. And honestly, at this point, I don't even get a badge anymore or a wristband. You can go down and see free shows from the time you want to get up till the time you want to go to bed.
I mean, people are scrambling for venues. It seems like they're in every parking lot and corner and you name it.
Absolutely, and that's the great thing. If you know, the way to go down there is just to go and enjoy, just leave yourself open to enjoy music. Because if you've got some artists you're dead set on seeing, you may not be able to get in. The club may be at capacity, but just let yourself wander around. Yesterday I saw this band, Saturday, a band called J. Roddy Walston and The Business. Had no idea who they were, and it was just one of those things where it stops me in my tracks, and I say, wow, these guys are great, and, you know, for that particular thing, it was very old school. It was like Skinner shakes hands with the Faces or something. But and then you can turn around and see an amazing rapper. And then, you know, bands that you guys have mentioned already, Yuck. One of my other favorites was Smith Westerns. And it's just incredible. It's the best week of music pretty much anywhere. And I say that coming from the other big music city in this country, Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's great. Yeah, I would encourage everybody to try to experience it at least once.
10 times down and out of Nashville, you've got special cred, Tim, and I appreciate your call. Our time is ticking down. I want to get a couple more of these sounds on here. This is Gold Panda, and this is this song, You. Now, Gold Panda, Chris, this is the British electronic musician. I've seen some video of him. This is at the Mohawk Bar, I guess. And once again, this is a guy kind of lost in his laptop and, I don't know, soundboard, or is it a turntable? And that's it. It's him working the electronics out of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember his exact setup. It was a laptop, and I'm not sure if he had some sort of usually there's some sort of device. It's a MIDI output that's a audio format that allows you to tweak what's happening on your screen. It also gives a level of performance to the event where you do, again, you know, I think when laptops started being popular tools musically, there was a lot of grumbling about that. So there's been ways to tweak it. But I think the best thing about Gold Panda's show was how quickly it turned into just a really awesome dance party. And I was surprised, I guess, because it's sort of a headier sound. Definitely a lot of psychedelic influences in his music. But really, he underscored the whole thing with a nice 4-on-the-floor beat, and it just kept moving, and everybody started grooving.
Let's hear it. Gold Panda rocking out on his laptop with You. Sounds like we're about 16 generations into the digital age there with Gold Panda. Wow, that's pinging right at you. Liz, does it catch you? Is it your thing?
Oh, yeah. I love him. It's interesting because I was, you know, at these things, you do want to have those moments, at least I do, where you can just, like, dance and let loose and not be taking notes. So he was a great, great way to do that. And also a couple of other people, sort of friends of James Blake, actually, called Mount Kimby, that I saw, I guess, the final night. And that's just great because people do get really into it. You know, people aren't just standing there shaking their heads. They're into it. And that, to me, is kind of what you want at these things.
Picture it, people.
At least some of the time.
Gold Panda, big name out of South by Southwest. I'm going to jam one more in here. This is When We're Dancing from Twin Shadow. And I think this is another one where people... we're just way into it at South by Southwest this year. Twin Shadow, When We're Dancing. Talk to me, talk to me. Liz, this is very synthetic sound, but also very back in the 1980s sound somehow. Yes. I'm time traveling all of a sudden. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, this sound is so common right now, and has been for, you know, many years. But I think that he brings something really, really fresh and new to it. And it's my favorite album from last year by far. It's called Forget. And yeah, I mean, he's yet another person who, I guess he was in a hotel room on some tour with a theater group that he was working with, and he just started recording stuff in his hotel room. And
on a synthesizer. I mean, not
yeah,
with a band, but just sort of...
Well, guitar, yeah. And then he got Chris Taylor from Grizzly Bear to help him out with production. But it's very raw and still very sort of, you know, analog in places. So, you know, he's still kind of true to himself. And it's just such a catchy, fun album. It's amazing.
You can hear so many strands being wound up there in a lot of these songs. It's, talk about eclectic, and they're pulling from so many different genres and times and periods. People rolling it together in a new sound at South by Southwest this year. This has been a lot of fun. For those of us who, you know, weren't at the music festival and get to listen in from afar, to have you two take us through your favorites has been just terrific. I want to thank you both for being with us. Liz Colville in Berkeley, California, written for The Daily Beast and Nerve and Pitchfork and Stylist. Thank you so much for being with us today, Liz.
Thanks, Tom. It was great.
Chris Martins wrote from South by Southwest for Spin Magazine. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And thanks again to NPR Music for the sound of Yuck, James Blake, Kurt Vile, and the Tune Yards. Listeners, thanks for joining us. We'll go out with TV on the Radio from Austin and South by Southwest. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.